I talked with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness, as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. Sure, many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. To the belly of death I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. Then open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. You'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. As I travel alone on this field runway, there are heartaches and burdens to bear. But a vision of Jesus in heaven above, our cross is much lighter to bear. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They have lost their vision. I remember the time, I remember the place when Jesus so sweetly came in. How He took all my burdens I carried so long when I first saw the vision of Him. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. they have lost their vision of Him. Now Jesus will come and He'll take us all home to a beautiful mansion so fair. But if you're not ready, He'll leave you behind. You'll reap in this life what you sow. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They have lost their vision of Him. Now Jesus will come and He'll take us all home to a beautiful mansion so fair. But if you're not ready, He'll leave you behind. You'll reap in this life what you sow. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and their loved ones have lost their way. They have lost their vision of Him.
Yeah, our journey had a beginning point, eh? Mm-hmm. I remember when I, 1971, you got to remember, you got to have a testimony. You overcame by the word or the testimony. Some people don't know when they got saved. One guy told me he's always been saved. Well, I wasn't always saved. I was a sinner man. I was born in sin, shipped in iniquity. Come into this word, speak of life. Somewhere I needed an encounter. I don't know why it's so hard to understand. I guess when you haven't gone through it, then it's pretty hard to fathom what you and I are talking about. So you had an encounter with the Lord. You had a beginning point right out there on that road. And you met that man. He read the scripture to you. And I had my beginning point. I remember the time. I remember the place. About 10 minutes after 10 on a Friday night. Right down at that Mayfair Colony when we started up that building, that place down there. I know the house I was in. I know exactly everything. Went to bed. Jesus came by my way, and He just forgave me my sins, just instantly. I know it. I knew it was yesterday. You never forget that. You know, you have to know that. Where did I pass from death unto life? Mm-hmm. There comes a time in everybody's heart where you pass from death unto life. I'm not ashamed to say it because I didn't have what I knew I needed to have up until then. Like I keep saying, I was under conviction for about 2 years. I realized I'm a sinner, eh? I had for help. As the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will come and He'll convict me of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Mm-hmm. Judgment is hell. Hell was looming right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing I could do about it. I couldn't even quit smoking. It wasn't until the Lord came by my way and then it began. That's where my spiritual life began, right? 1971. On that, I think it was the month of March. That's the spring of the year anyway. And like I say, I remember the time, I remember the place. And on this journey, yeah, you know, the journey begins. But on this journey, you slip up and you mess up and you fall back into sin and you keep on going and then you do whatever's necessary. You just keep on going and somewhere you have to have a starting point. That's what I'm trying to say. Then you give the Lord, let the Lord deal with it. But see, when brought up in that other thing, you think they leave the impression on people they're Christians, but it's not. It's not. It's a. What we said yesterday, it's a substitute. It's a substitute for Christianity. And if you want to look at it, But if you've not been born again, if you hadn't had that experience with the Lord, then you would think it is like that. It's real. You see, the people, they go through life, and they have absolutely no clue what it means to be born again. They grow up in that system, and then, like I say, they go through this baptism, rigmarole, and that's their idea of being born again. Mm-hmm. And they go through this diabolical, satanic, camouflaged, counterfeit baptism. It's all of the devil. And then we're just exposing it because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That, Hunter, I think, it's the works of the devil. It's just that simple. And we're just, we for the last 10 or whatever long, we've tried our level best to expose it. You know what I'm saying? We're just doing the people a favor. Mm-hmm. We're letting them know that that thing is not of God. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good it sounds. And they've been given our mandate to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. You think it's fun? We gotta give away our relatives and our the people we used to know. We gotta expose them for what they are. These tugs in the pulpit. They mean well, man. Some of them can really preach up a storm. I remember that thinking about that Lawrence from Windy Bay. He did my sister's funeral. Oh man, you couldn't find a flaw in that, a perfect salvation message with that guy come out. I didn't know it was in a hard right to preach a message like that. And here, you could tell he's had some kind of a experience with the Lord, the way he preached like that. But see, he left out the main ingredient. He left out that God sent the prophet. Mm-hmm. It's all in vain if you cannot bring that into your focal point. See, we have the whole counsel of God. We tell people the way it is. We know we offend a lot of people because we tell the people the truth that they're offended because they're holding on to that Hutterite thing. And we just come along and we just tell them the way it is. It's not fun. It's not the fun thing to do that. But, you know, it's got to be done. That's the mandate. The Lord has pulled us through that for a reason, so that now here in this end time, all we're doing, we're exposing it. We're bringing it out to the light, exactly what it says over in John chapter 3. This is what's going to condemn people, that the truth has come. We're just putting the truth out there. We don't hate the people. We call them thugs because that's what they are. They're Satan's thugs. We can't water it down, you know. You got to call out a spade is a spade, and club is a club. You got to call it out the way it is. You can't be this wishy-washy thing. That's how the devil works. Mm-hmm. He leaves a confused picture that you don't know whether you're coming or going. That's what he did back in the early church. He brought out two line of thoughts, and before you know it, they're all bickering around about this or that or this or that. But Jesus kept with the program. What the devil does, like, if you look at his history, what he brings in, like I say, he brings that two line of thought just to get people to fight with each other. Yeah. This guy thinks it this way, and before you know it, there's a split, mm-hmm. and people don't know whether they're coming or going. That's what he did in the early church. And the first they think, did Jesus really come in the flesh? It was really Jesus, really deity? And they got some legitimate things if a guy doesn't know what they're planning.
Exactly.
We look back and we see the plan game that Satan has. We got to know Satan when we look back and we take inventory and we see exactly how he operated back in that early church. And he worked overtime, these antichrists. They came in and they had a better program than the Apostle Paul. They came in really pious and religiously talking. Like, they really meant it. But see, behind it was the spirit of Satan, because Satan knows what his game plan is. He wants to bring in confusion, and then he wants to set up his own program. That's what he did in the early church. He knew exactly he was going after the Godhead, and he knew exactly, like I say, you and I, we look back. Mm-hmm. We look back at reality, and we know exactly what he did. Bit by bit, he began to get the church quarreling and fighting mm-hmm. with each other. By the time 325 rolled around, 300 years, 325 AD, He already knew exactly what he was going after. He was going after, we wanted to bring in a counselor. He was going after that baptism next to 38. That's what he was going after. And when that meeting was done, Constantine came in and he changed that whole formula for water baptism. And you don't even have to repent in these churches out there. You just go through this rigmarole and then you get baptized. They pour you with water, like in the Hutterite Colony, for instance. They pour you with water and then you got to make a bunch of promises and then you're going to do that. You would blah, blah, blah. And that's all counterfeit. Mm-hmm. It looks good when you just look at it at face value. It looks like real. Unless you had a real experience,
exactly.
then it's garbage.
That's what I was going to say. If a person does not have the real born again experience, where Jesus come by your way and you're born again, and then these people manufacture, Satan manufactures it all. That's why all this confusion comes in, and he just uses the intellectual man to try to copy something, and then they get it all wrong, because mm-hmm. it's by the Spirit. It's mm-hmm. not carnal, it's by the Spirit. And that's what's the difference. When Constantine came along and he mandated that baptism in the Trinity, everybody's a Christian now. That is a mess, because that's what the devil wanted, because everybody comes up with some idea. Because if it's not the unity of the Spirit, everybody comes up with some idea that they think is right.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be by the Spirit.
See, one of the first things the Lord dealt with me, he put me on this journey, like I said yesterday. The first thing he got rid of me, he got me to get rid of that alcohol. I wasn't an alcoholic, like I said yesterday. But, you know, you don't need alcohol. Mm-hmm. And the Lord took that completely away from me on this journey. There's no need for alcohol on that journey. I'm not putting you on a journey where you're going to have, your life is going to have to show what you're doing. And that's what he did, and then he kept on going, and then one of the first things of my Bible one day was one faith, one baptism, and one God. I really didn't know that's all, there's so much in that back in the day, but then I took the concordance, I took the Bible, I took all kinds of literature to figure out that baptism, and there's only one baptism, and I knew that Hutterite baptism was not that biblical baptism that the Bible talks about. And then on the journey, I found out that it's the only way to get baptized in Jesus' name. And so much when I was in that their kangaroo courts, I just told them, your baptism of the devil. Now, for people that never heard this kind of language, the Lord had to drag me for 2 years through that. One faith, one baptism, and one God. And here I come out, I was in their kangaroo courts with all these, the top hierarchies and the Hutterite regime, these uncircumcised, like a bunch of uncircumcised Philistines, because they have not been born again. They didn't have the born again experience. They're just Hutterites, that's all they are. They're Hutterite high priests, just like back in the day of Gideon, these uncircumcised Philistines. They had their priests, just like the Muslims. They have their priests and their imams, and they look good with their long beard and all that stuff on face value, but their hearts are evil. The same thing with these other right preachers. I was in their kangaroo court and I told them right to the face, that baptism that you have is of the devil. Wow, oh man, here. You think you're going to get anywhere with that kind of a statement? Mm-hmm. But that's what I told them. I had no other option. I told them the truth. See, you can't be wishy-washy. And from there it went on. But the truth of the matter is, it's still the truth. It's still of the devil, because it's Satan counterfeit. And I found out a lot of this stuff that you and I are talking about Constantine coming in, about how Satan works. You got to know how Satan works. I mean, you got to sit back and see how he operated back in the early church. And then when Martin Luther came on the scene, he's up to his old same tricks again. The same thing, prox and confused, brings in Jakobuter, brings in Andrea Reza, and he brings in these tugs, and these, and that's the foundation of Hutterdom, you know, back then. And it's all pile of garbage, and we're just exposing it. And we tell it, put it out there, deal with it, and it's not our problem anymore. Now we put it out there and people can accept it or reject it. It's just that simple. We're just here to expose the unfruitful works of God and to destroy the works of the devil. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's time to go on a rampage. We're floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. But let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try to live the Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. And then we hear the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. And there, my brother, cheer, our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon a golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the Jews home. The lifeboat soon is coming. My eyes of faith I see as she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely on the port with friends we love so dear. Get ready, Christ, the captain, oh Lord, she's almost here. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Oh, now's the time to get on board while she is passing by. But if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. The fare is paid for one and all. The captain bids you come and get on board the lifeboat. She'll carry it safely home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the Jews. kind of lines up with that song, People Get Ready, back in the 60s mm-hmm. when that song came out. That's what, what happened in the 60s. The churches rejected the prophet. Mm-hmm. They rejected the truth. But God has a heart for humanity, and he gave this guy that song, People Get Ready, and they went around the world, and all these hippies, and all these hippie movements, the Lord could not stand by and watch that, just because the leaders of these churches in America, the denominational churches, mm-hmm. they rejected the prophet. They told him to go fly a kite, we're going to do our own thing, we're not going to listen to what you have to say. So what happens? The devil took over America. But see, God has a heart for humanity. He don't want to see humanity drift out just because they made a decision. These preachers, these people in the pulpit, they rejected the prophet. But see, there's innocent people. Mm-hmm. The Lord looks at the whole picture, and he saw how all these young people, all these innocent people, just because, like I say, just because their leadership took the wrong direction, rejected the truth, rejected the prophet, rejected baptism in Jesus' name, rejected the idea of going back to the early church, they rejected that, and then the devil took over. But see, like I say, God has a heart for humanity, and he sees all these young people, what happened in the 60s, all these young people, they left home, and they left the churches, and they're just like a stampede, they're all going all out to San Francisco, the hippie movement, and all that. I've seen it. I was out there in the late 60s in San Francisco, and I seen that movement. Now when I look back, I can see exactly what happened. The churches of America rejected the truth for their day, and then Satan took over America, and then all of a sudden the floodgates of hell were opened up, and these young people, they just left home. And they went out into the hippie movement, into the drums and all that stuff. And then the Lord gave this one man this song, People Get Ready. That's right. Where they sang this song, People Get Ready. There's a train that's coming. It's just in, talks about this lifeboat here. And then it's picking up passengers from coast to coast. And that movement, that song, it went around the world. And you can go on your YouTube. What'll happen if you tap in YouTube, there comes that song. It's still going around the world. On a day-to-day basis, people get ready, begging and pleading with people, get ready, there's a train coming. It's picking up passengers from coast to coast. People get ready for that train to Jordan. There's begging and pleading. All you got to do is accept. And here we are trying to all our energy goes into, all our resources going into telling people where it's at. Come and get on board with that message for your day with Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea is the ministry of Brother Brennan, where it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The ministry of Brother Brennan, that apostolic and that prophetic ministry, will put you on a course, and it will take you right out to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's all that's left. That's all that's left. The grace age is over. There's no use trying to get it back, and there's no use to going out there to get baptized in Jesus' name. That era is over. It's done with. It's done served its purpose. The only thing that's open now before all hell breaks loose is an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you can get yourself to believe the message that we're trying to bring out here in these closing days of time, that's all that's left from the grace age. From all these seven church ages, that was the only thing that's left. Everything is winding down. The only thing that's left now, there's an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what Jesus put on his thing. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever is a thirst, let him come. Whosoever heareth, let him say, come. Blessed is he that's been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what that song responds. That's what it represents here. The life of soon is coming. That's what that song represents. That over the years, over since the 60s, there's a song going around the world, and all this hippie movement, and all these rock and roll bands, all this sing that song. People, it's begging. You can tap in and listen to it the way they plead and beg. People get ready. There's a train coming, picking up passengers from coast to coast. People get ready for the train to Jordan. That's what that represents. It represents the marriage supper of the Lamb, the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you can only accept what we're trying to say here for the last, really for the last 40 years, ever since the Lord put us on this course here, that's all we got left. Invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Forget about all your ideas and all your Brendamite stuff and all your principles and all your how to write down, all your cultic ideas. Forget about everything. There's only one thing, Matthew 22, the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's people that are going to reject it, and then God will send in his army to destroy these murderers that rejected the truth here in these closing days of time. We're just, all you and I are doing, we're just putting it out there, because we're just exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. And that's our mandate. That's the only job description we have. And that's all that's left. There's nothing else left. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Hallelujah, his truth is marching on. Well, we kind of have a different thought today, but I want to go after these Brennamites. The world is full of them. They're all over the world. There's tons of them. I want to just expose what happened back when Brother Brennan left the scene. But I want to read the thing, Mark 10 again. And when then Peter began saying unto him, "Look, we have left all and have followed thee." Like you could bring it. That was Peter asking the question. Mm-hmm. See, Peter, when the Lord called him, he just dropped everything like a hot potato and he followed Jesus. That's what you did, and you could put your own name in there. And then Lorraine began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And you could put your own name. You could put it in if you made that cut. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people, they haven't made a cut yet. But then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." They, like he wanted an answer, and Jesus answered and said, "That this is Jesus talking. Verily I say unto you, there is no man." See, you had to have a starting point. There came a time when you put everything on the line. We have left everything. You walked away from that authorized place. You walked away with the clothes on your back. You left your furniture back there. You left everything back there, and you walked away with nothing. And that's what it said. Verily I say that no man that had left houses, like it wasn't all that easy. You go out and to venture out and no man's land. You don't know what you're going to encounter, because you've been sheltered all your life, and we've been sheltered all our life. But there came a day when we had to venture out, because we left everything behind. That other thing, I left everything behind. There, verily I say unto you, there is no man that had left houses. I left my house. Or brethren, I left all my family, brothers and sisters, father and mother, and wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel. I didn't leave it for a good time. Mm-hmm. I saw something in the scripture that I didn't have, and I wanted that. And in order to get that something, I had to leave everything behind according to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You left father, you left land, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this houses and brethren and sisters. That's what you and I are. We're brothers and sisters to each other. That's it. And mothers and children and lands with persecution and then the word to come eternal life. Well, then when you analyze that and you go through it with a microscope, you're gonna get back a sister, eh? Because you left your natural sisters. God's gonna make sure that you get a true sister. You left your wife, but if you read this fine, you never get a wife back. Our thing is, we're not in the main and a romantic situation here. This is not what this is about. This is a pure spiritual journey that you and I are on, because it says here, you will give you back daughters and children and land, but he will not give you back any more wives. You just got the one wife. That's what I believe. You get the one wife and you do whatever is necessary. But here in this situation, they took my wife away from me. They told me you don't have a wife. That wife belongs to the Adorate Church. You don't have any children because these children that belong to the colony. That's what they told me. They're flat out right to my face. And, what are you going to do? You're going to take them to court? You're going to fight around with them? Then that's just the way the Lord had this engineered, because in order for you and I to walk on this journey, you've got to leave all that behind. And then he says, God's going to give you back 100-fold people that you can trust, that you're going to get stabbed in the back. See, when you brought us together, you were somebody, the only person on planet Earth that I could trust. That, yeah, I've had a lot of other people that came along for a bit, but as soon as they got a little bit of footing, what they do, they'd stab you in the back, and you couldn't trust them. You're the only person that I could trust on this journey, because you have gone through the same thing. You have left everything behind. These people that have come along, they didn't leave everything behind, so you can't really trust them. The only reason that you and I are together is I have left everything, and you have left everything, and then the Lord brings this together. Now we're on this journey together because we made a cut somewhere along the road of life, and then God saw us struggling along. He saw I was all wore up, and he brought you on board, and he told me without you there's no program. So of course, it says with persecution. We've been persecuted. God's going to give you back everything that you lost, but in it, he says, with persecutions, and then the world to come, eternal life. That's the journey we're on. And we've been, ever since the Lord brought us together, we've been doing exactly what it says here, with persecution. We've been persecuted. We've been made fun of. We've been falsely accused of everything under the sun. But see, that's all part of the program. Because it's here, he will give you everything back with persecution. And then the world to come, eternal life. And that's really the journey we're on. But today, want to kind of shift gears, because we have made a cut. God has given us the tremendous responsibility to expose these unfruitful works of darkness. He goes on and says that God, Jesus, came to destroy the works of the devil. But before he could destroy, he had to first expose them. And that's what you and I are. We're just exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. Like we've been on this hutter, I think, forever and a day. But we're shifting gears. When the Lord took me out of that system, and he brought me to the ministry, Brother Branham, out at that Episcopal Church. There's a lot of things I didn't know, but the Lord gave me a warning. He said, Sam, there's a lot of dangers in that move. And I know that God sent the prophet, and I know these people out there in Vancouver, that the Cloverdale Bible Way, they believe that God sent the prophet. But see, when Brother Branham died, the Lord moved on. He did the truth keeps marching on. And a lot of these Branhamites, I know a lot of them. Oh, there are thousands of them all over the world. They got these two or three churches many times in one city. And they won't talk with one another. There's so many cliques and so many divisions. And then I kind of wonder what's going to happen with all these people. Where are they going to come out? And what's the scoop with these Branhamites anyway? And as time went on, I begin to see what the devil did. So then Brother Brennan went off the scene, and here comes these wannabes, and here comes these Peregrine, and here comes these Eddie Biscuits, and here comes all these so-called preachers, and they're, oh man, can they ever preach, and oh yay. That Episcopal Church there. And when I got into that church out there, the Lord gave me a warning and said there's a lot of danger. And one of the first person that the Lord let me know where the danger is that Episcopal. And then if you just look at it at face value, like with your natural eye and your natural instinct, you would You hear me say this, he's a very dangerous man. You think I'm crazy. But see, that's what the Lord warned me. He said, Sam, there's a lot of danger in there. And the first person he showed me was Eddie Biscoe. So I just stepped back and I watched how he was using the message. And I let it be known. I let it be known when I was going to church up there. Before I left, I let it be known to the deacons, to that John Stoll. I said, Eddie Biscoe is just using the message of Brother Bennett to build his own empire. And they will. And I guess Eddie Biscoe heard about what I'm saying. So what he did, he gave orders to the deacon, when Sam comes into church, make sure you escort him out. Don't sit him in the pews. But I guess he didn't have enough backbone. I just walked in there and I went and sat down. But that's the orders they got. Mm-hmm. If he comes in, escort him out there. But I guess they didn't want to expose themselves. That's all they would have done. And then 10 years later, that John Stoll, he was the one that he was spearheaded. He was part of the deacon board, and he was the one that spearheaded all that. And I told him, I told him that Eddie Biscoe was doing, and he thought that was crazy. But 10 years later, right, pretty much right after he experienced that very thing, and then they had that split up there. I don't want to go into all this stuff, but see what I'm trying to do now. I want to expose that Brennemite movement for what it is. All it is, it is evolved into a cult now, because if you refuse to move on, the devil comes in and he does exactly what he did with back in the early church. It was exactly what he did with the ministry of Martin Luther. And here again, God takes Brother Branham off the scene. And here, all these wannabes, they come up and they think they have a license to be the successor. They wanted to be the successor to Brother Branham. And there they come. And Eddie Biscoe, if they would have took a vote all around the world, let's vote then who the successor is. To Brother Branham, Eddie Biscoe would have got the votes by a big majority. But see, what happened is when Brother Branham went off to see, the Lord had himself a vessel to carry on with the program, and that was Raymond M. Jackson. And the Branhamite, they refused to accept that, and they call him a blackbird just to kind of leave the impression that he's a blackbird, and they don't even question, don't even go and study it out. See, maybe the guy has something. Maybe we should follow it. But see, that's the way the devil does. He just puts out a thought. He's just a blackbird. It's no use looking at him. It's no use listening to what he has to say. At the end of the day, he's just a blackbird. And that's the movement that goes all throughout the Brennan movement. The fact that the devil used that to keep them away from further truth. God, I know what I'm talking about. When Brother Branham left, God raised up Raven M. Jackson to continue on with the program. And all Eddie Biscoe did all his life, just to pretending and emphasizing to all these Branham people that Brother Jackson is a blackbird and that he is the successor to Brother Branham. It's just that simple. And what the devil was doing, he was just making sure people never find the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. That's been my fight with these Branhamites. I got relatives out there involved in that church, and I got a lot of people I used to know, and I've wondered many times, many sleepless nights, what's going to happen to all these Branhamites? Well, they're just moving. They're going to go exactly where the denomination, where they went back when they rejected the prophet. They rejected to move on. The truth keeps marching on. And what happens when you don't move on? The devil comes in and he takes over and he infiltrates it. And before you know it, it's just become another synagogue of Satan. That's what these Branhamites are. They're just these groups all around the world. By the thousands they are. But all that's come now, they've evolved into a cult. Because Satan infiltrates it and takes it over. And all they are is synagogues. The Satan. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing here today. We're just exposing it. Just that's him. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you've allowed us to see, Lord, when you put us on the journey. We just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be overcomers in the hour we're living in, that we'll be able to say and exercise our duty that you've given us, this mandate then we'll be able to clear everything up and to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, whether it's the Brennamite, whether it's the Hutterite, whether it's the Amish. All these, Lord, are just agents of Satan. What Satan does, we just want to ask for grace to be able to paint the picture so people know what you're up against, Lord. It's nothing enough that has any value. We just pray, continue to pray, Lord, help us to be overcomers in the hour we're living in, and help us to do to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Because now here in this end time is truly what you said when you were here. The deception will be of such magnitude that it would even deceive the very elect. That whole religious mechanism, Lord, is out there to deceive the masses. And we just happen to tap into it. You've given us the understanding of it all. And all, Lord, we ask for grace to be able to put it out and then and open daylight so people can repent of it and take a course and accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's all that's left here, Lord. We just ask for grace to continue on with the program. We just pray you'll open the hearts of the people that they won't reject what we have to say, but they'll embrace it with a passion as a warning from you, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I've been seeing in the last 2 days. Somebody at somewhere along the road of life, somebody, there's got to be an answer for all these thousands upon thousands of Brennamites that believe that, they believe that God sent the prophet. They believe that he was that Malachi 4 prophet. They believe it wholeheartedly. They believe it just like you and I believe. But what they don't believe is when Brother Branham went off the scene, they have to accept the fact that now God is going to use Raymond and Jackson to continue on with the program. The truth keeps marching on. And what happened? What the devil does, he makes sure that he paints a very gloomy and sad picture about the very vessel that God is using to continue on with the program. And that's what they did. That's all the ministry of Eddie Bischoff was to make sure that he leaves the impression on all these Brennamites all around the world, over in Africa, over in India. He traveled all over the world. Everybody knew Eddie Bischoff. And when he stepped back and he analyzed it, just with your human tendency, mm-hmm. you believe that Eddie Bischoff, he is the man, because he's well known all around the world. And if I tell them that, I told my cousins out in Washington back in the day, I said, the guy is a very dangerous man. They thought I was crazy. And they put me in the outs, and they just, to this day, they got me in the outs simply because I told them the truth. But see, I have a mandate to tell people the truth. I can't say he's anything other than what I know. I know it for a fact. And then what happened, the Lord brings me to the ministry of Brother Jackson. No, you and I, we've had a gold mine. Truly what it says in Malachi 4, like I said the other day, we're like those feathered cats that Malachi talks about. They'll go in and out like feathered cats. And you and I, we've been fed spiritually from the ministry of Raven and Jack. He took us back from the prehistoric. He told us about the tree of life and all these things. It's a spiritual gold mine if anybody has a hunger and a thirst for things of God, like you and I have. You see, we left everything behind, and we wanted to pursue the things of God. And here, lo and behold, the Lord brings us to the ministry of Brother Jackson. We was in there for 10 years, and then the Lord takes Brother Jackson off the scene. So what are we going to do now? We thought, like I said before, we thought Alan would just continue on with the program. But after a while, we're sitting back, man, where'd you get these crazy teachings from? We're in the third day and the different things, four parts of the first resurrection. Oh man, all of a sudden, and then here, Satan, he's up to his old diabolical tricks again. As soon as Brother Branham leaves, everybody in their dog want to be the successor. As soon as Brother Jackson leaves, everybody in their dog want to be the successor, and they come out with their own ideas and with their own opinions, and before you know it, you got another a situation just like the early church, just like the days of Martin Luther. And come these Zwinglis, and come these Jakob Hutter, and comes the devil with these tugs. And here again, here, soon as Brother Jackson leaves, here come these tugs. Here comes Alan, thinks he's the successor, and to this day, people believe it. No matter what he preaches, they still believe it's garbage, and they sit there and support him. Well, you and I, we saw what he's doing. and we separate ourselves from all that garbage. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're doing. We're exposing that Brenhamite movement, but it evolved into nothing but cults all over the world. They've evolved into synagogues of Satan, and people, they flock to them like they don't know any different, if you know what I'm trying to say. And all we're doing, we're just putting it out there for people to take at least take a look at it. I know they're not going to accept what you and I say, but it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know a lot of people, they got all kinds of health issues, like that guy up in Regina, we went to Saskatoon, we went to see when we were on our way out to the funeral, we stopped there. His wife, she's got all kinds of health issues, but he's too stubborn to even look at anything other than Brother Brenham. That's all good and well, but there comes a time when Brother Jackie goes off to sea and God begins, the truth is marching on, and then he switches over to Brother Jackson. We couldn't even get inside with to tell him about Brother Jackson. And then they wonder why they have all these health issues, simply because they're not moving on, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem with humanity. You can see it out throughout the Grace Age, how people have not moved on, and then they denominized. It's the same way with the Brenhamites. And then behind that Brenhamite, there is that bruised serpent spirit, and that's basically what they're following. Like, you can see that the devil's thing draws more attraction. Just like in the garden when he beguiled Eve, that tree of the knowledge of evil, there was an enticement there. And mm-hmm. that's what drew, and she was beguiled by it. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They have some charisma, like that Eddie Biskell, in order to draw people to him. Because behind it is the devil using Eddie Biskell to lead people astray, to deceive them, instead of leading them to where God is at for your day and hour. And that's where he continued on with Brother Jackson, and Brother Jackson had all the dreams and vindications that move. He was going to continue holding that torch of truth. Not that Eddie Biskell or anything. He was Brother Jackson was chosen by God to move on that torch of truth. And he continued from. That's where, when you speak to the Brenhamites, you really have no real connection with them, because it's not after the spirit that they knew Brother Brenham. It's after the man, after mm-hmm. the flesh. See, that's the difference. We knew him after the spirit, and that's why, when God moved on with Brother Jackson, we had no problem to move on. Because we're following the Spirit of God. We're not following no man. We're following the Spirit. And that continued and led us on. Even after Brother Jackson passed on, God continued to lead us on. Because you're following the Spirit, not the man. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of the living God. And that's how he worked. Well, we don't want to follow no man. But like I said, Satan has a decoy, and usually behind it is there's an enticement, and people are more attracted to that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I was up there for 3 years, about 3 years with that Episcopal church, and then I saw that caught the Lord at Worm, a lot of dangers, and eventually the Lord just took me supernaturally, took me out there, and he brought me supernaturally to the ministry of Brother Raymond M. Jackson. Mm-hmm. And then I went back, and I sometimes would listen to Eddie Bissell he's on that Cloverdale Bible Way channel, and as he was preaching, if I had not the Lord personally give me the warning, there's a lot of dangers in there, mm-hmm. and that Eddie Bissell is a very, very dangerous man. The Lord personally gave me a warning, and then I sat back, and I still kept listening to him sometimes, because he's got a lot of good information, but when he was preaching, you could tell that there's something lacking in his mm-hmm. life. He longed to something, and I know he didn't have that something that he longed to have. And even though I knew the devil was using him as a take Brother Jackson's place, and he spent all his life trying to prove to the people all around the world that he's the successor to brother Jack, to brother Branham. He never said as much, but he left the impression. That's exactly what he left the impression in people's minds and hearts. And today when I come along and tell him he's a very dangerous man, they think I'm crazy. But I go by what the Spirit of the Living God let me know. And then when my cousin passed away, the Jake, and I went out to the funeral, and I, when I was way up there, I decided I'm gonna have a talk with Eddie Bishop. So he did a funeral to my cousin there, and after the funeral, I called him aside, and I told him exactly what I'm telling you. I say, Eddie, I really appreciate what you've done over the years and things like that. And I listen to you sometimes, the way you preach, but I can tell there's something lacking in your life. You have a longing for something, and you seem to want to reach out for it, and you can't seem to get it, because I can feel it when you're preaching. You're putting your whole heart into preaching, but there's something lacking in your life. And what's lacking in your life, Eddie Biscoe, is the fact that God is not you, that God is using Raymond and Jackson to continue on with the program. And he just about, oh man, he almost had a heart attack right in front of my eyes there. He was so shocked. And oh no, brother, it's the Holy Ghost that's taken over. See what the devil does. He doesn't have to pinpoint it that it's Raymond M. Jackson that God is using to continue on with the program, and he wouldn't accept it. I told him right to his face, right after that funeral. And, what are you going to do? And then a few years later, that split came in with Cloverdale Bible Way, and all kinds of stuff came out. He was taking money and doing exactly what I ordered 10 years prior to that. The man is very dangerous. He's just using the message to build his own empire. And here we found out he was taking money, and oh man, I don't want to go into the smear. You can get it on the internet, the smear that they went through, and oh yikes. And see what it finally came out, exactly what the Lord told me back when I got, right, maybe 3 days after I got involved with the movement, with the Brennamite movement. The Lord gave me a warning, and all we're doing now, we're telling people exactly what the Lord had warned me about. That Brennan movement is exactly where the church was, where the church were left when they rejected Brother Brennan. The Brennamite movement is exactly where they are. They rejected the move on, and the truth keeps marching on, and they rejected Brother Jackson. And now they're in the same boat that the church world is in out there. And it's just that simple. And all we're doing now, we're just putting it out there for people to see. And once it goes into the heavenly realm, we just decided today that's what we're going to expose that Brennan movement. It's nothing. It never was nothing. The minute Brennan passed away, the Lord switched gear, and then he took the vocal cord of Raymond M. Jackson to continue on with the program. And if you can't accept that, then you're going to do exactly what the church did when they rejected the prophet. You're going to go out into darkness, and what you're going to feed on for the next 40, 50 years is that brute serpent. That's exactly what they're doing. When you go listen to Brother Brennan, Brother Brennan, Brother Brennan, that's exactly the story about that brute serpent when they try to make Brother Brennan into deity. They even baptized in the name of Brother Brennan. He's the second coming of Christ. And oh man, the stuff that they get themselves involved in, simply because they rejected the move on, and the truth for their day was the ministry now of Raymond M. Jackson. Now Brother Jackson is gone, and the Jacksonites are going to do the very same thing. They're going to destroy everything that Brother Jackson ever taught. That's exactly when the Lord gave me that dream after Brother Jackson left. That's what I saw. He just let me know. They're going to do everything they can to destroy everything that Brother Jackson ever taught. And here they come out. We're the third day, four parts of the first resurrection. And God only knows what they're teaching now. We listened to Fred after that, and we had such a nightmare just by simply listening to him. And then, like now, we can't listen to him anymore because the Lord gave us a warning. He let us know that man, Fred Corby, is a very dangerous man. The same warning I got when I was with the Brenner movement. It's just the way the Lord had dealt with you and I over the course, simply because we have simply done exactly what it says here. We have left everything, and now God is giving us the mandate to continue on with the truth and tell people there's only one thing left, and that's the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll take these words, help them speak to the hearts of people, Lord, because we only mean the best for people, and we just want to let them know that what's behind the spirit behind the Brennamite movement and where God was continuing on. He was using Brother Jax to continue on that work. So we just want to expose these things. We pray we just want them, or for people to hear and perceive these words, Lord, so they know what's really going on. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.